Grab your Bible, and we'll go ahead and do our scripture reading this morning. Turn with me to the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark this morning. Mark chapter number 4. It's good to be here in the Lord's house this morning. Good to see the house nearly full yet again today. What a blessing, and I count it a great privilege, and it's an honor to be able to be in the Lord's house. And never take it lightly that He gives us the strength and the health to be able to be here. I mean, it's a great thing to be able to come together. We live in the land of plenty. We live in the land of opportunity. We live in the land of the free. But my friends, those freedoms and those liberties that we have held so dear for so long are starting to erode. And the very fabric of America and the very fabric of our republic is starting to denigrate. Just kind of, it's being washed away by the liberalism and all the attacks from Satan. And let me tell you, my friends, don't take it for granted that we can come in here. Don't you dare take it for granted that you can find a copy of God's Word and slap that up under your arm and go to worship. Because it can be taken away. You said it can't be taken away from us. You can always worship the Lord, and you'll always have that liberty. But as far as government, they will try to restrain us and restrict us in the days ahead. You can believe that. You said it's not going to happen. It's happening on the western coast already. And when it happens out there, it starts coming this way. you may not know it, but those that have been around here a length of time, we support a missionary up in Canada. His name is Brother John Cottle, and he and his dear wife are up there, and we send them money every month. And Brother Cottle will quickly tell you that many of the things that we in America have the liberty to stand boldly and proclaim, Brother Kenny, not my opinion, but straight from the Word of God. I'm talking about scriptures right out of Romans chapter number 1. I'm talking about Sodom had no Bible. I'm talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. And if he tried to preach that north of the border, I'm talking about this is just north of the United States, he would be arrested for that because there it's already considered a hate speech. My friends, don't take it for granted that you get to come here. It's a blessing to come to God's house. It's an honor to come here. And we ought to do it, the Bible said, the more as you see the day approaching. Assemble yourselves together. We'll read our scriptures in the book of Mark, chapter number 4, and then we'll let you be seated. We're going to go to a couple other passages of scripture as we always do, but this will be our primary text today. And we're going to start out in chapter number 4, and we'll pick up the reading in verse number 33. Are y'all good today? Say amen.
Amen.
Boy, it's a blessing to be here. So good to see all you visitors here. Good to have some of you who's not been here in a little while. I know some of you had some sickness and that kind of thing, but it's so good to be here. And you take it for granted whenever your sickness comes upon you, you can't be here. I know several of you have had surgeries and different things, and continue praying for those like Sister Sharon Call that can't be here just yet. But it might be your time to sit at home sometime with sickness, but take advantage of the opportunity. When you have it, you got good health and strength, and God's blessed you, go to His house and come here and worship Him. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 4, verse number 33, and with many such parables spake He the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake He not unto them, and when they were alone, He expounded all things to His disciples. And the same day, when the evening was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hindered part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awaken Him, and saith unto Him, Master, carest not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Brother Luke, will you ask God to bless our scripture reading? Amen. So as you're being seated, there was a couple confirmations already for me that the Lord was going, leading my heart in the right direction. I was going to follow Him. I was up till nearly 2 o'clock last night wrestling with different messages and could not get settled down. I mean, it just wasn't there. And you preachers will know, Brother Kenny, I know, and those that's ever wrestled with God trying to seek something from Him, if He's not ready to give it, you can stay up till 4 in the morning or 5 or stay up all night. But until He says this is it and settles you, it really is fruitless. And that goes back to accept the Lord build the house. They that labor in vain. But God's in this message. And like I said, I got a confirmation through a couple different comments this morning. One of them was in my Sunday school class, and it come from Brother Tommy and Miss Mary Doris Coffee. And namely, they said that they themselves had been going through a storm. And let me just tell you, I remember being stationed in South Dakota. And anybody ever been out in the West? Raise your hand if you've ever been out West. You can see forever out there. I mean, you can actually see literally for, I guess, hundreds of miles until the Earth's crest moves off. But I remember before Miss Cindy came out and we were married and she came out there and joined me, I was working one of the flight line gates, and I was in law enforcement, so I was on installation entry control at times. And they come across the radio and they said this. They said, "Secure the post, a storm is approaching." So what that means, Brother Greg, is I just shut the gates. Nobody else comes on the base. Nobody goes, it's just, we lock up. We shut down. We batten down the hatches. And Brother Kenny, with God as my witness, I watched that thing come. And I could see it coming across the prairie. I was at Ellsworth Air Force Base, which is just east of Rapid City. And we have the Black Hills. Anybody ever been to Mount Rushmore? You know there's some mountains out there. But just on this side, it levels back out into a prairie. And you go on down toward Wall Drug, and it's just flat as a flitter out through there. But I saw that storm literally crest the Black Hills of South Dakota and come across that prairie. Tam, I watched that storm. And I wouldn't dare lie in God's pulpit. There were hailstones the size of softballs. I'm talking about hailstones large enough. Everybody's windshield that was on the base was busted. There were people that were trying to run into the gate post that I was at. And one of the ladies had to call an ambulance because a hailstone had hit her on the ankle as she was running in and broke her ankle. That's the size of those stones. But Brother Tim, I saw that approaching storm and I watched it come. And I'm going to tell you that. You say, where are you going with it? I want to tell you this. I've seen some storms coming. I've seen storms coming in my own life, and I knew that they were coming. The telltale signs were there. And I'm going to tell you this morning, the sky is darkening for some of you. I mean, I've seen the storm clouds boiling. I've seen it coming. And this is a fair warning to you today, bless God, that you better batten down the hatches and you better do what I'm about ready to preach today. You said, because you're telling it? No, because the Word of God says it. And we'll be there in just a minute. But some of you have already been through a storm. And now on the other side of that storm, when Miss Cindy and I went to Tennessee week before last and preached that revival, driving through 40, if you've been up through there, you go through those tunnels. And as you're driving through, man, it's dark. It says, use your headlights. And then you go through, and then all of a sudden the road starts to open back up, and you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Some of you might be here today, and it's been very dark for very long, but let me tell you, there is light at the end of your tunnel. I promise you this, the storm clouds will eventually subside, and as they do and they go away, bless God, then bask in the sunshine and enjoy the rainbow, enjoy the promise of God, because that's what the rainbow was. It was the promise sent from God. Amen. So as we're into this scripture today, I want to preach this message, your clouds are darkening. And I want you to think about it as we try to bring this message. Does anybody that goes to the beach or goes to the coast, if you're really sanctified Christians, we go to the beach, we go to the coast, we go to the Outer Banks, we go wherever. Jenny, if y'all ever go down there and get a hotel room, are y'all generally asked if you want to have travel insurance? I mean, most of us know what I'm talking about. If you go book a room somewhere, what are they saying? They're saying, do you want to purchase travel insurance? And what that is in case of an impending danger, such as a hurricane or some kind of a storm, Brother Kenny, they're saying that without that insurance, you can't get back a portion of your deposit. You can't get your money back. But if you spend $1,000 or $1,500 on a place to stay, Brother Tam, out there at the Outer Banks, Luke, you want to protect your investment, or I really do. There's been many times I say, no, we'll just take a chance on it. And Brother Kenny, when you're saying I'll just take a chance on, what you're saying is I've got this expendable amount of money here, and I can just set $1,200 or $1,500 aside over here, and if that hurricane comes and there's a mass evacuation or something happens, a death in the family, a death in the church, and I can't go, then so be it. I'll just forego that money. I don't want that. But how many of you do you think in your right mind would go down there, having declined the travel insurance, having declined that ability to recoup some of your loss, and whenever the storm comes, Brother Woody, let's just say that thing kicks up, you've seen it on the horizon, but you didn't buy the travel insurance, and now it's too close. If it gets within 48 hours, you're not buying it. But walk right in there, Brother Woody, and go back to your real estate person that you rented it through, Village Realty, whatever it is. And now they're calling for a mass evacuation. Walk in right in the middle of the evacuation and said, I've changed my mind. I want some of that travel insurance now because I want to get back the second half of my week. I'm not going to be able to stay but 3 out of my 7 days. I want to invoke that travel right now and get back some of my money. They're going to say, too late. Now that brings us back to the 10 virgins. 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 had oil, 5 didn't. Brother, they had the travel insurance. The 5 that had the oil, bless God, they're traveling. They're ready to get out of here. But as we look into this scripture this morning, I'm going to preach this thought this morning. Before, during, and after your storm. And I want to look back into the scriptures in verse number 33, 34 this morning. 33 and 34, it said, with many parables spake he the word unto them, and they were able to bear, as they were able to bear it. But without a parable spake not he unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things unto his disciples. The first thing, if you were to go to the FEMA, which is the government's website, FEMA.gov, the first thing when the storm is coming is namely this, to inform yourself. It would do you well this morning to get informed. Find out what God's book says. Find out what the scriptures say pertaining the things of the hereafter, the things beyond. Why? Because right now we are before the storm. We're before the danger. We're before the trouble comes. And bless God, you better be informed. Now listen to me. I have no place that I go to for my weather, but listen, you can listen to Lion Laney all day long, and she might hit it about 2 out of 3 times. That's probably the best job in the world. You can be right 95% the job and still keep your job. Brother Woody, you can listen to Lion Laney all day long if you want to, but you better listen to me this morning. Bless God, God's word's forever settled. It's right. Now, you can go to a meteorologist, or bless God, you can go to the one that calms the storm. You can go to the one that controls the storm. You can go to the one that caused the storm. You can go to the one that can speak to the storm. It'll have to obey his voice. But listen to me this morning. You better be prepared before it ever happens. Amen. Any of you ever had any occasion to watch them at the beaches? What do they do when an impending storm's coming? Hurricane Charlie, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane this, Hurricane that. They start boarding up the windows. Why? A brother, as much as a week or two in advance, they're dropping their shutters and they're closing their windows and they're putting up the storm blades. They're doing everything that they can. Brother Robbie, they're putting up things on the beach to stop the beach erosion. What are they doing? They're preparing for the storm that is about to come. You say, well, preacher, how can I prepare? You can do what they did in verse number 34. The Bible said in verse number 34 that without a parable spake he not unto them, but when they were alone, he expounded all things unto his disciples. You better start listening to God, and you better start listening to his word. I mean, my goodness, my friends, the word of God is preached around here and preached with boldness. It's preached with urgency and fervor. It's preached with excitement, but yet it's preached in love 3 times a week, Brother Kenny. We get the word of God, and it is the word of God. Thus saith the word of God, and it's preached that way as the word of God. Brother Varun, we would do well to listen to that instruction and to inform ourselves, because my friends, there's coming a day whenever the storm's going to come. And bless God, how you prepare before the storm is how you will fare out during the storm. That's a promise.
Yes.
How you prepare going into it might cause you a whole lot of less struggle while you're in it.
Amen.
You say, well, I've never been in one. Well, hang on. Brother Jerry, when you were about to die, and I can safely say that, you were about to die. I guess in this church you were as close to death as anybody's been in the last several years. And I'm not fabricating a story to embolden or to make this story or this message any better. But brother, you were just about to die. Now, I'm fair to say you were not as prepared going into that storm. I know that, and I'm not giving up your testimony. You've shared your testimony, and most of this crowd knows your testimony. But, brother, it would have been a whole lot easier going into that storm had you prepared before time. And, Brother Joe, you're there. You're in a storm already. Brother Alan, I can go around this whole congregation of people. You've seen storms, but most of them don't just pop up overnight. Most of them, as it was in the days that I told you about, I saw the storm cloud, Brother Tam. I saw the blackness. I saw the boisterous winds. And, Brother Woody, I could actually see that thing coming across the prairie. Had time to close everything up. Cindy and I were sitting up at Walmart the other evening. We had ate some Mexican food, and we were run up to Lowe's or wherever we went. And I thought, well, it's a beautiful evening. The sun's shining. And when we turned go back toward the Oakwoods community, Jenny, I could see the rain. I said, look, over at Phil's house, it's raining on top of the brushes. And it was, Brother Woody, you could just see it going across the top of the brushes. But sun was out where we were at. Now, let me tell you real quickly. Preparation for a storm, Brother John, does not involve you buying up bottled water. It involves you tapping into the unlimited well. It's you, brother, getting along with the living water and getting along with God Almighty and saying, Lord, I know that struggles are coming. I know that the clouds are lowering. And bless God, they are lowering. Bless God, you're a whole lot better off whenever Daniel and Miss Kimberly are in an accident if you're already prepared for that before the accident happened, before the struggle comes. Listen to what God's words say. He said that he spake to him, and he spake to him in parables. He told his disciples the things concerning himself. And you go back. I can read the parables that he led into. That whole passage of scripture from Mark. Mark doesn't tell a whole lot about the birth of Christ. You go in there and you look, there's nothing in there. He starts out with John the Baptist, and he goes right into parables and teaching the disciples. We would do well to hear the instruction of Almighty God and to be prepared for that which is coming ahead. When I say the clouds are lowering and darkening, it's not just on a national scene. It's in my life. It's in your life. It's in the church, in the life of a church. We're going to face adversities in these last days. We're going to face troubles and heartaches, and we're going to have all kinds of adversity. The next thing, I want you to look down, and you're going to have to go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2, and like I said, there will be a couple places that we would go, but I didn't have you turn there earlier, but just flip over to Hebrews chapter number 2. The next thing on the FEMA.gov's website that said concerning a storm, you say, why are you preaching FEMA? I'm not. I'm preaching the Bible. First thing they said was to get informed. Get all the information you can about what's about to take place. Brother Woody, we would do well to inform ourselves about what's to take place. I preached a message here just a couple weeks ago about the end of times, about the churches, the rapture of the church, or the calling away of the saints of God, and the chaos that would then be released on humanity, and how that Christ would eventually reign and calm would be restored. I preached that, Brother Tim, that's all in the future. Yeah. It ain't happened yet. Why? Because I'm still standing here preaching to you. The church is still here. Yeah. We ain't gone yet. If we were gone, me and you'd be gone. Right. We leave that up to Archie and Woody to figure out after that. The next thing that it said as I looked down through there was this. And I thought, man, that's good. If you're going to be prepared beforehand that you can batten down the hatches and board up your windows, buy the trip insurance, make sure, Brother Ryan, that everything's ready. That way when the storm comes, you are reasonably prepared. The next thing it said, Brother Tam, was having this escape plan. I said, boy, that's good. You better have an escape plan. Now, the Bible, you said, why'd you turn us to chapter number 2 in the book of Hebrews? Because that's where your escape plan is found. Look with me in Hebrews chapter number 2. I'd hate to be stuck on Frisco or down at Hatteras Village in a terrible storm, and it's a-coming, and that thing caught me off guard. Does anybody here know where Frisco's at? Buxton, Waves, Rodanthe, Salvo? I mean, you're so far Highway 12, you're either going to have to come back up Highway 12, which is a good hour and a half from the bottom to the top, and Brother Woody, you're going to get off on a ferry on the bottom side and go over to Ocracoke. There's very few ways to get off of that. Tim, there's very limited escape plans from down there. Am I right or wrong? There's one way. It's Highway 12. Jody, you've been down that way. How are you going to get off of down there? Highway 12 or a boat? That's it. But here the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter number 2, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What? We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What's that, Brother Danny? It's getting informed, being informed about what's coming. And this morning the information is here. Brother Kenny, there's a storm coming. And West God, we ought to be prepared. We ought to batten down the hatches. We ought to be prayed up, stayed up, looking up, because bless God, one day we're going up and we ought to take it that serious. We ought to. He said, we ought, that word O-U-G-T, we ought to give. We should give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. It says this, lest at any time we should let them slip. If I don't preach the word of God in its boldness, bless God, and get other preachers to do the same thing during our revival week, Brother Kenny, we just might let them slip. Amen. We might let it slip off. And the next thing you know, we don't have bold preaching anymore. Next time, you don't have somebody crying over the altars anymore. Next time, Brother Lewis, we got somebody up here telling us something. Real feel good. Brother, we're sinners and we need a Savior. That's why we got to preach it with boldness, but yet temper it with love. Here's what he says. He said, we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Listen to me. How then shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Where's your escape plan? How are you getting off? How are you leaving this world? Are you going to leave it encumbered with much? Are you going to leave it free and say, Lord, take me home right now? My God, Brother Woody, you're not getting out of this world alive. I promise you that. You're going to be transformed in the moment, in the instant of time. You're either going to a grave or you're going to glory by the way of the rapture. But by God, Brother Tim, we're out of here one day. And the Bible said, how shall you escape? How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? Where's salvation? What's the Bible say? Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation's God's. He gives it to us through his Son. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of the Lord, by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. How are you going to hear him? You're going to hear him by a preacher, because that's the way God works, preacher. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. How will they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except that he be sent?
Right.
Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
So if you're going to be informed, Brother Dean, I mean, gather all the information. When's the storm going to hit? Unfortunately, we don't know when that storm's coming. Sometimes you can just see the darkness. And that's what I'm talking about. The clouds are getting dark for some of us. The clouds are lowering. The air's getting heavy. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. There's some things going on in the peripheral that you better take notice of. You better look at. Why? Because, Brother Lewis, there's a storm cloud brewing. There's a storm out there. And bless God, it's going to come one day. And when it does come, you better be prepared. Sometimes they come and they're unannounced. You remember that little straight line winds? They called it straight line winds. We called it a tornado. Man, that thing was tearing up Jack last year. And back in October, I stood there at my sliding glass doors and just watched. I thought, wow. And Miss Macy was standing there and she said, look at that oak tree. That thing just twisting off. Fell off down in the woods. Thankfully, everything was going away from the house. And I watched this great big dead oak that Buddy Perry was going to cut for me. But somehow we let that one get through the cracks. Whew. Went the other way, thankfully. And I thought, where'd that storm come from? I had just come in from outside, Brother Ken. It was, the leaves weren't even shaking. Now, sometimes you'll see the maple trees and the leaves will turn white. They turn upside down. What is that, Brother Woody? That's a good sign. There's something fixing to happen. But sometimes the leaves in your life are not white. Sometimes they're not even moving. Sometimes it's out of nowhere, but yet here it is. But when it comes unannounced and you're seemingly just taken aback from it, if you were prepared in it, it'll be okay. Because usually those don't last real long. But I'm telling you right now, the clouds are low. Stay informed. Have an escape plan. You said, how am I going to be prepared for it? What's my escape clause? It better be Jesus. Now, I'm not going there this morning, but if we were to go over to the scriptures, we could trust the promises of God. God told Paul, you will be a witness for me in Rome. Is that right or wrong? And then when he gets there and they're getting ready to set sail as a prisoner to Rome, 276 people are now on a ship. But the angel of the Lord coming to Paul said, Paul, y'all better not leave this port right now, because this place is going to get rough. Yes. Paul said, folks, we shouldn't set sail just yet. We better wait right now. And they said, we're going. You're the prisoner. We're the captain. Bless God, I'm glad I'm trusting the captain of the ship, not whoever driving the slave boat. Brother Tim, they come in there, and the Bible said that wind kicked up, a great Euroclodon. It kicks up, Brother Kenny. The next thing you know, man, they're So what'd they do, Brother Robbie? The Bible said they threw over all the wares. Anything that was not important, they tossed it over. And whenever they tossed it over, they're trying to lighten the ship. The Bible said they dropped four anchors and they wished for the day. Many of us have anchored on the rock of ages. We are anchored to Jesus Christ. He is our anchor. He is our hope. He is everything we've got. And that's what we're anchored to. Brother Jody, let me tell you, Paul was given the promise, you will be a witness of me in Rome. Bless God, he's going to Rome. I don't care how bad the storm is. God said, you're going to be a witness for me over in Rome. That's the testimony of God unto Paul, the servant. And bless God, he's going to fulfill that.
Yes.
Should we look that up, or y'all trust me? Y'all trust me with that? Some of you looking at me like you're a little confused. Go with me to the book of Acts. Didn't know we were going there. But if you want to flip over, Brother Woody's right. It is true. Jot it down if you're confused. Acts chapter number 23 is where he gets the promise. Acts chapter number 23 and verse number 11 said, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. So must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now to me, Brother Woody, that's... If you got a red letter Bible, Brother Tim, those are words of red. That means the Lord Jesus Christ told Paul that you are going to be in Rome and you will be my witness while you're there.
Amen.
Now, I don't care how bad the storm is, Paul's going to Rome. If you're saved, Brother John, and you have been well informed and you gathered all the information and your escape plan is firmly intact, and that is that you have not neglected that great plan of salvation, you can trust, brother, you might wash up on Melita. You might wash up on glory, on a fractured part of a life. You might wash up on a failed marriage. You might wash up on brokenness. You might wash up in heaven on the backs of a miscarriage. You might wash up on the shore of heaven. Bless God. Having been through some other adversity that I haven't named, you might have to face cancer. You might have to face a number of things. I don't even know what your storm might look like. But bless God, if you're saved by God's grace, and he said, I've given you a home in glory, bless God. Brother Ryan, there ain't a devil in hell could keep you from going to heaven. You're going to get to heaven. I promise you that you will get to go to heaven. If he gives you that promise, and you don't neglect so great a salvation, Brother Ryan, you're going to heaven.
Amen.
Bible said, and if you were to go on over there, I'm not there, we'll flip over there. That would be in Acts chapter number 27. Everything I just read is all down through there, 18 through 29 and then 38. Pick it up, verse number 44 said, and here's what it said in verse number 43, and the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from the purpose, commanded that they would, which could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of that ship, so that it came to pass that they all escaped the land. All 276 of them. Some of them washed up on a broken shard of the ship. It was just a fragment. Brother Tim, it might have been a board this long, but that thing was his buoyance. That was his flotation device. Bless God, I'm glad we're propped upon Jesus. We might wash up, Brother Lewis, on just a fragment of what was our lives, but bless God, we're going to get there someday. And bless God, you better be prepared before the storm comes. And then when you get into the middle of it, bless God, make sure you got a firm, I'm talking about a dedicated, a deliverance path, an escape plan to get out of this world to go to the life hereafter. Neglect not so great a salvation. Don't neglect it. It's free. Why wouldn't you want it? So many times we neglect. So many times we refuse. Do you want that travel insurance? Nah, don't want it. I don't know. I'm not going to ask you who in here has life insurance policies. Does life insurance insure your life? What does it do? What's it do? It pays based on your death. It does not insure your life. it actually ensures that when you are dead, somebody else is going to make money off of your demise. So you better be careful who you're on your beneficiary statement. If y'all need to put my number or social security number, get with me later and we'll make sure that paperwork's taken care of. Life insurance does not insure you life, but trusting and hoping in Jesus Christ, that'll get her done. So my plan, get informed. Know your escape plan. Get the insurance before the storm kicks up. Don't try to buy it after. I'm telling you what, when boards are knocking out pieces of your window, when boards are knocking out parts and shingles are flying off your roof, that's not a real good time for you to try to go get some insurance. That was the before. Here's some more of the during. Trust. 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 If you heard the word of God, the Bible said he taught them. I'm going back to Mark. He taught them. What'd he do then? He got in the ship with them. He didn't say, y'all get in the ship. There's another account. He put them in the ship to increase their faith. He went up on the mount to pray. He comes back walking on the sea after he stirred it up. And Peter walks on the water. Remember that? But on this one, my friends, he got in the boat with them. Brother Kenny, he's going to get in the boat with you. You say, well, I didn't even know he was in the boat because he was asleep down there on a pillow. Bless God, I don't care where he's at as long as he's in there with you. I don't care where he's at. Just keep him close to your heart. And trust. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, many of you love it, many of you quote it, but many of you, or few of you do it. Amen. Gerald, you ever go through a storm, buddy? Oh, yeah. See, some of you, I know some of your storms. Some of you, I know some of your struggles. I really do. I've seen them firsthand. I've been through them myself. Miss Cleith, I've seen some of your storms. But listen to me. Trust in the Lord. Trust in what you had prepared on. Trust in the information you were given. Brother Tam, if it come out of that King James Bible, you can trust that, my friend. The Bible said, Brother Woody, that he is steadfast, and we too can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, you can trust in that. Be steadfast. You can trust that word. Yes, trust in your preparedness. Trust in that escape plan. Trust that, Brother Varun, what you got is real. And brother, that's all we've got. Brother Woody, I asked him one time, I said, Brother Woody, are you going to heaven? He said, yes, sir. I said, based on what? He just held this up. Amen. Are you really going to heaven based upon Amen. That book? You're going to trust your eternity to that book. Amen. Amen, brother. That's the only way to fly. But it says to trust in the Lord. What's the next part of that that we have such trouble with? I have trouble with that. With all thy heart. We want to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then do what? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Our understanding does not matter. Do you realize that I've made mistakes and blunders in my life because I'm sitting here, Brother Varun, and I'm adding up this bill and I'm adding up that. I'm crunching numbers. I'm taking that number off the table and I'm doing this. And bless God, at the end of the day, they don't add up. Bless God, that's when faith steps in. When it just can't balance the bottom line and that the deficits are far greater than the receipt. And Brother Woody, it just doesn't make sense. That's God. And you can trust on that. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and that he will direct thy paths. He shall direct your paths, Miss Mary. During the storm, just trust your preparations and hang on to what you did while you was getting ready for the storm. And then, I told you the before and the during. Now we're going to go to the after. Some of you have had a harder time with the after, but I'm not one to condemn you because I've not been in your storm. I will not condemn you, but some of you don't do real well in the aftermath. Well, Robbie, that's what our Uncle Don does now. He's with Samaritan's Purse. I think he's still down in around Galveston, Texas or somewhere, putting stuff back together from whenever that Hurricane Harvey or whatever come blowing through there. He's dealing with the aftermath of a storm. Now listen, Brother Tam, the aftermath of the storm, sometimes that's not very pretty, is it? Some of y'all went down to Gulfport, Mississippi a few years ago, and I know many of you did. Brother, have you ever seen such total destruction and a mess? That's just a mess. How does anybody rebuild after that? Do they go back to the same blueprint? Do they go back to the same foundation? Do they go back to where they were at before? How do you go back? How do you recover from that? I want to tell you, sometimes your recovery process, before, during, and after the storm, three different things. Before, prepare, get ready for what's coming down the line. And then while you're in it, during the storm, trust in what you've already learned and hold on to that. Brother Joe, hang on to it. If you prepared before time and you've got an escape plan, you're well informed. Bless God, just hang on to that. The storm, when it lets up, sometimes the Bible said that they washed up on the Isle of Melita, some on boards and broken pieces, everything. They just knew right then and there, Brother John, that the devil had them. Ain't that what he said? They washed up and they met. Who'd they meet right there as soon as they got off the... As soon as they washed up, who'd they meet, Brother Woody? A bunch of barbarians. What'd they think they were? They thought that they were cannibalistic in nature. That's what they thought. But the Bible said that they showed them no little kindness. In other words, showed them great kindness. Brought them out there and built a fire and took good care of them. But some of us don't do as well in the aftermath. The Bible said that they run down to the hinder part of the ship and cried out, Master, that's a good place to go. Run straight to him and said, care us not that we perish. He does care. Amen. But Brother Woody, Brother Tam, y'all that's already kind of gotten, you made it in life. You're retired now. Do you, now that you're retired, did all of your struggles go away? No. Now, they didn't even, did all of your, no, I don't suggest they, are you retired now, Brother Tam? That means, boom, you made it. Bamboose, everything's perfect now. Every day's sunny. Every day's sunny. No, you still have problems. Your wife still might get sick. You still might have something to deal with. But let me tell you, just because you've arrived somewhere, don't you let up. The aftermath. The putting it all back together. Do you realize the God in that aftermath is still the same God that was at the beginning of the storm? He's the same God. He's the same God. He didn't change in the middle of the storm. We just had to lean on him a little stronger. We had to trust him in a little bit more. We had to, Brother John, we had to go back to his word and make sure that it was forever settled in our heart. We had to lean on that, brother. Because then, after the storm, you know why? We're going to use that same roadmap that prepared us. We're going to use that same preparation that prepared us to put everything back together again. We're going to use that, Brother John, to use the same blueprint. We're going to use that to frame ourselves back around what his word says. Brother Lewis, you got the song today. All over the house of God, we're done today. We're going to quit when God says get done. But listen to me. If you're not prepared, get prepared. I told you the clouds are getting darker. If you're already in it, keep trusting to your preparations. You say, well, I boarded up my windows. I got my bottled water. I've done what I can do. Have you got yourself a firm escape plan? Is there an exit sign? Is that escape plan, does it include Jesus Christ? If it doesn't, then guess what? You can perish in that storm and not have success on the other side of it. And then after the storm, look to the one to put it all back together. Like I said, I won't pretend to know. Brother Allen, I can't know you're hurt. I cannot know that. Why? I've still got my beautiful wife. You don't. Miss Jim, when you had cancer, Miss Ginger, you had cancer, Brother Woody, you had lymphoma. I don't know what that C word does. I don't know what that does to a man. Brother Tim, you've had how many treatments now for bone cancer? 5 months worth. I don't know what that does. That has to be a storm of magnitude beyond my thought. Why? Because I've never been diagnosed with that yet. So therefore, I don't know. But Miss Cletha, when you went through a storm, and your sweet mama passed away not too awful long ago, at first I didn't understand. I really didn't. I knew you were grieving. But on March the 20th, I learned her grief. I learned that what she was going through was real. And what did I do, Ryan? We did what you did what Miss Cletha did. We just keep trusting to the promise that, bless God, Rob, your mama's gone. We can't bring her back here and hook her up to that 40-foot-long, 50-foot-long oxygen. She had a cord. She had a cord, honestly. He'd reach from here to the back of the church and probably back up here. She didn't want to be anywhere without her oxygen. But Robbie, I wouldn't bring her back down here and hook her up to all this junk. And no, why? Because she's seen something far greater than what we've imagined. The Bible said, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God's prepared for his children except that the scripture revealed unto it. Now, we don't know what mom's seen. But bless God, we can trust the promise we'll get to see her again. That's before, during, and after the storm. After the storm, Brother Tim, it don't look too bad to me. Unless it's a storm that I've not been in yet. Your storm's different than mine. I promise you. Miss Sterling, can I use you, baby? How many children have you had to see buried? Three. Is there anybody else in here that's had to bury three children? That's an unnatural passing, my friends. During the natural process of life and the maturation process, Miss Jenny, I'm supposed to bury my parents. That's natural order. My mama will die, and then my daddy will eventually die, and then my kids will come up and bury me. Miss Sterling, honey, that's an unnatural grief when you have to bury a child. I know that. I do know that, but see, I've never been there. And I pray to God I never have to. That has to be a storm of the utmost magnitude. But I tell you what, honey, you know what? On the other side of the storm, you're still just as beautiful. Is grace not beautiful in Miss Sterling's life? Sure it is. I remember Miss Mae Bumgarner, been up there to see her before. And she'll sit around and talk about her child that died. You know what I'm talking about. She still talks about that. But she's still shining on the other side of the storm. Let me tell you, I don't know what your storm is. I don't even know what's coming over the crest of the hill for you. But I do know this, Dean. The clouds are lowering. They're lowering on America. But they're lowering in our own lives. Brother Lewis, what have you got?